the book of John, you know, the author uses one keyword, and he used this keyword 98 times. That keyword is believe. Believe. And when John used the word believe, he's not talking about intellectual knowledge, head knowledge, or information about Jesus Christ. He's talking about a personal trust, in Jesus Christ. Because when you believe in Jesus Christ, it leads to salvation, it leads to truth, it leads to life. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, it leads to a continuous relationship with Him as your what? As your Savior and Lord. So the author in the book of John, in one of the few conclusion verses, he said this in John 20 verse 31. He said this, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, you may have life in His name." So he's the reason why John, that's why it's written, that you may believe in who? Believe in Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. And that when you believe in Him, you have what? You have life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the time we have in you. We believe in you, Lord. We just ask that you speak to every heart that is here. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. When I turn to John chapter 5, I look at the whole chapter and I say to the Lord, what do you want me to unpack your people on this whole chapter 5? We don't need to start from the beginning. So I asked the Lord, what do you want me to unpack on this chapter 5? And what I got from my heart is this. Unpack the power of I believe. The power of I believe. See, the Bible is very clear. To tell us, and there is the promise and the assurance of when you believe, the power of I believe. In Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said to the father who had a son that was demon possessed, Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who what? Believe." So if you believe, all things are possible. Then Jesus said to his disciple in Matthew 21, verse 22, "If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." Of course, it must be according to his purpose and his will. So you want to answer prayer, you need to believe. And then he said this to the two sisters, Mary and Martha, who is very dear to his heart, when their brother Lazarus died. Jesus said this to them in John 11, verse 14. "Did not I tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" This is the power of I believe. When I believe in who God is, when I believe in His word, when I believe in His promises, when I believe in His character, the assurance is because I believe, I will see the impossible become possible. I believe transcend, I see, and I feel. Many of us operate in what? I see. And I feel. But the Bible says that we must operate on what? I believe. I believe is higher than I see or I feel. I see deals with what? The natural eyes. I feel deals with what? The emotion and the will. But I believe deals with what? Deals with the most innermost part of you, your heart. Your heart. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 state this. For the heart, for with the heart, not the eyes, not the mind, but with the heart, a person believes. We must believe with what? With the heart. We don't believe with what we see. We don't believe with our head. We believe with what? Our heart. And the Bible tells us that, for with the heart, a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. So the Bible tells us very clearly that each one of us needs to have a firm, unwavering conviction of, I believe. Not I believe in myself, or I believe in the world, but I believe in God, the one who died and rose from the dead, Jesus Christ. I believe. The power of I believe. And this must be the foundation of our belief in Jesus Christ. So when you look at John chapter 5, you have the record of the lame man. The lame man was at the sheep gate pool. So this sheep gate in the Old Testament is where the sheep comes in through the gate. And the reason why the sheep comes in through the gate is to be slaughtered as a sacrifice to God. Jesus Christ came to the gate of Jerusalem in the same way to become a sacrifice for humanity's sin. So he is the gate and he is also the lamb. That's why the Bible tells in John chapter 1, verse 29, the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. So you have this gate. But this gate is next to Bethesda. And the name Bethesda means the place of outpouring, the house of mercy, the house of grace. And what happened to this place is that people who has need gather in that place waiting for their miracle. You know, so what is this? This is the power of the cross. I believe in the work of Jesus Christ at the cross. Because what Jesus Christ had done at the cross, that we gather in his house. We gather in his house, and he has transformed his house, his church, to be a house of mercy, a house of power, a house of grace, and a house of miracle. So when we come here, let's believe that God is alive, that he is moving among us, that he can answer our prayer, that he can touch us, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is not a religious idol. He is the living God. Can you believe? This is the power of I believe. We know that in this pool, the angel will come and stir the water. And only the first one that goes into it, can be healed. I mean, I don't know about you. The Bible tells us that some of these people has been there for years waiting for their opportunity. I mean, in such a time as this, God still show mercy and grace to give one person. But thank God, through Jesus Christ dying on the cross, his spirit is poured upon his house, that today every one of us can expect our miracle, our breakthrough. He has paid the price for all of us. But it comes with the power of I believe. So, Christ has accomplished the work on the cross. What do I believe? When I look at this chapter 5, it talks about three things that you need to believe. Truth number one, I need to believe in His word. I need to believe in what Jesus say. I need to believe in what the Bible say in verse 1 to verse 15. I need to believe in His word. So the Bible tells us that in this pool, there are important people. People who are lame, blind, widowed, and they are sick, waiting for their miracles. And some of them has been there for many years. And you can imagine that the lame man has been there for many years. I don't know about you. I wonder, has the lame man been surrounded by all these kind of withered people making like there is no hope for me? You never understand the power of influence. Who you surround yourself with. When you surround yourself with people like that, you become like what? Like that. When you surround with negative people, you become what? Negative. When you surround with people who are very cynical, what do you become? You become very cynical. If you surround with people who are angry, you become what? Angry. So has this man surrounded by these people, you know, and he's 30 years of age. In fact, 30 years means even before Jesus Christ was born, he's already lame. That's a long time. Day and day, he had been waiting for his miracle. Day and night, waiting for the angel to move the water so that the first one that stepped in can be saved. I mean, what hope is that for this group of people? Could you imagine the angel stir the water? The blind man say, show me which direction is the pool. I got to walk to the pool. I mean, if the layman sees the angel stir the water, before he can get up, others are already there. So what hope is there for him? Then came Jesus. Jesus appeared before this layman and he asked this question. Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? This is a good question. A man who was lame, do you want to be made whole? The man came with his excuses. You know, I want to, but before I could go into the pool, others has gone into the pool. And there's no one to help me. And these are good excuses. You know that. It's so easy to blame others for our problem. So easy. So he is telling Jesus, I can't because others. Blaming others is an old sickness. It started from the garden. Eve, Adam blamed who? Eve. Who Eve blamed? The serpent. And because people do not want to take responsibility, they will never experience breakthrough for their life. You want God to break you from your bad habit, you have to take responsibility. You want God to answer your prayer, you want God to deliver you, you have to take responsibility. But we want to blame everyone. We want to point the finger at everyone. My parents, my friend, even my dog is the reason. Everyone except ourselves. But when we take responsibility, like Jesus hearing his excuses, Jesus turned around to him and said, rise up, take your bed and walk. Now this man is on the crossroad. Here is Jesus that said, take up your bed and walk. He's in the crossroad. Number one, should he believe the words of Jesus? This is what it is, the power of I believe when I believe in His word, when I believe in what Jesus said, and when I believe in what the Bible says. Should he believe or disbelieve?
Every one of us, we are in the same place as this man. We want God to answer our prayer. We want God to help us. God's word is already spoken. It's already written. Do you believe? He chose to believe. And because he believed, he obeyed. He took his bed up and walked. The Bible tells again and again the power of I believe in his word. Jesus instructed the man with the withered hand to stretch it out. He believed in his word, obeyed, and was healed. Jesus told the blind man to watch, to go to the pool of Siloam and watch. He believed in his word and obeyed and regained his sight. Jesus told his disciples to feed the 5,000. They believe in his word. They obey, and a miracle occurred. Jesus commanded the leper to show themselves to the priest. They believe in his word and went, and they were healed. I want you to know, your miracle today, your answer prayer today, your breakthrough today, and your ability to break any habits is possible if you simply believe his word and obey his word. Don't argue with God. Don't give excuses because of other people I can't. But because this lame man simply believe. If you are waiting for a miracle or a breakthrough in your life, let me tell you, choose to believe, obey, and act on his word. Just like Jesus' mother told the servant, whatever he say, do it. And water will change into wine. This is the power when I believe in his word. God is speaking to each one of us with words of hope and strength. Rise! Rise today! Rise from your place of failure, hurt, and disappointment and despair, and walk in his life in resurrected power, because he had done all on the cross, not just for the first person to get into the water, but for everyone who is willing to believe in his word. I believe in his word. The power of I believe in his word. The second truth is I believe in his authority. From verse 16 to verse 13. The religious leader fear to honor Jesus because they don't believe. They don't believe he's the long-awaited Messiah. And they saw the words of Jesus, the action of Jesus, which conflict their religious establishment, challenge their conscience and their practice. They got angry. They got angry when Jesus healed the lame man. They got angrier when Jesus referred to God as his father in verse 18. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was calling God his own father, putting himself on the same level with God. But they forgot that everything Jesus did was to reflect who? Was to reflect the Father. He said, if you see me, you see the Father. You know, because Jesus never walked independent of himself. In verse 19, the Son cannot independently do a thing, only what he sees the Father doing. What the Father does, he does. Jesus was so in tune with the Father that his word are the Father's words. His work are the Father's work. And he said in verse 6, 17, my Father is walking straight through even on the Sabbath. So am I. So Jesus clearly stated Jesus clearly stated that he's the Son of God. And because he was willing to obey the Father even to death on the cross, the Father has granted him all authority following his resurrection and his exaltation. And Jesus further said that in Matthew 28, verse 18. All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. I believe in his authority. Do you? Do you? So these verses, there are three areas of his authority. Three areas of his authority. First area is his authority to give life. Verse 24 to verse 26. I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me has eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sin, for they have already passed from death to life. And I assure you that the time is coming, indeed it is here now, when the dead will hear my voice, the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen will live. The Father has life in himself, and he has granted the same life-giving power to his Son. I believe in his authority to give life. You know, the Bible tells us that before we believe in Jesus Christ, we were dead in our sin and trespasses. We were enemy of God. We were condemned to eternal judgment. But one day, only by his grace, we hear the voice of God. Not that he spoke loudly to us. We hear the voice of God through the preaching of the word of the gospel. And the gospel opened our hearts. Open our heart and we believe. Because we believe in Jesus Christ. The Bible promised our sins are forgiven. We have freedom from condemnation. And we be inherited God's kind of life. Eternal and abundant life. Throughout his ministry, Jesus spoke of life, granting forgiveness and eternal life to those who believe, who respond in faith. He demonstrated that he has the power to give life. He has authority to give life. Do you believe in his authority to give life? The second area of his authority is found in verse 28 to verse 29, the authority to raise the dead. Don't be surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their grave will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life. Those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. The same Jesus who has power to raise the lame man, he has the same power to raise the dead. And one day, billions of people in this world will be raised from the dead. God has unlimited power to raise the dead. He raised Jairus' daughter from the dead on the same day. He raised the widow's son from Nain after he died for a day. Then he raised Lazarus after 4 days when the sister said by that time his body will have decomposed and he will stink. But Jesus raised him from the dead. Yes, Jesus has the power to raise from the dead because he himself was raised from the dead. Man, humanity's greatest enemy, death, is been conquered by Jesus Christ. This shows that he has power to raise from the dead. Amen. All the ashes that is thrown into the sea, the ashes that is scattered in the garden, one day, those ashes will raise to stand before God. That is the power of God to raise the dead. Do you believe? Thirdly, his authority to judge. Verse 22, 27, and 30. In addition, the Father judged no one. Instead, he has given the Son absolute authority to judge. And he has given him authority to judge everyone because he is the Son of Man. Bible speaks of two resurrections. The resurrection of the just and the unjust. Those who believe in Jesus Christ, he will raise them to have eternal life with God. They will be with God in heaven. Those that believe not, they will be raised and they will be judged and cast into the lake of fire. In today's context, in our world today, in our Western Christianity, the word hell should not be spoken because it offends people. But the Bible talks about it. The Bible talks about it. You know, and Jesus said, in this both resurrection, he's the judge of both of them because the Father has appointed him to judge the living and the dead. And when Jesus judged, he's fair, he's impartial, he is righteous, he cannot be bribed, and he cannot be deceived by human scheme. He sees the human heart. Nothing is hidden from him. Again, Jesus said in verse 30, I can do nothing of my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me, his ability to judge. Now that I know of his authority, to give life, his authority to raise the dead, his authority to judge. I know. That's why I gladly come under his authority. How about you? I gladly come under his lordship. When I come under his authority means I come under his lordship. When I come under his authority, I come under his lordship means I come under his protection, his covering. And I know from the Bible, when I am under his covering, there's a promise of protection, there's a promise of providence, there's a promise of presence. Because of his authority, I'm willing to come under his authority. Whose authority are you under? You see, you can be under three authority. There's three authority you can be under. You can be under your own authority, or you can be under other people's authority, or you can be under Christ's authority. Three authority. When you're under your own authority, you may miss God's purpose and God's plan for your life. When you are under people authority, it leads to bondage and frustration. But when you are under his authority, you can live with confidence in his goodness and in his grace. I come under whose authority? He has all authority. I gladly come under his authority. Whose authority are you under? Who do you follow? Who dictates your life? Who energizes your life? Who is the breath of your life? So I believe in his word. Amen? I believe in his authority. The truth in this chapter is I believe in his weaknesses. From verse 31 to verse 47. The religious leader has no excuse for rejecting Jesus Christ, because Jesus was their long-awaited Messiah. But these people, this religious leader, they focus on what is foreshadowed, what is patterned, what is symbol. They point to Jesus Christ. They do all these sacrifices, observing the Sabbath, celebrating religious feasts. They all point to who? They all point to Jesus Christ. But when the real Jesus stands before them, they reject him. Yes, they have all the practice, but they miss the person himself when he stands before them. Pastor Aaron, he said, I didn't move. Thank you. So the Bible tells us that God has given to them four weaknesses that they have rejected. Who are the four weaknesses? Well, the weakness of John the Baptist from verse 32 to 35. John himself said, I'm not the Messiah, I'm preparing the way for the Messiah. Jesus called John the burning and the shining light who bore his weakness. Then the weakness of the work in verse 36. Every miracle and the work that Jesus does is to what? Is to show that who he is, that he represents the Father. In John chapter 10, verse 38, even though you do not believe me, believe that the work that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. He tells the people, you don't believe, see the work. This work is from the Father. And then he gives the weakness of the Father. The weakness of the Father from verse 37 to 38, that the Father has always said in his transfiguration and in the water baptism, this is my what? Beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. So they hear all this, yet they choose not to believe in him. And the last weakness is the weakness of Scripture. 39 to 40 and 45 to 47. Jesus said that the Scripture, the Old Testament, including the writing of Moses, point to him. Nevertheless, the leader missed the truth and missed their chance for eternal life. I believe in his weaknesses. Today, we are the witnesses of the reality of Jesus Christ. Our life testifies to his truth and his life. Today, we are empowered by his Holy Spirit to continue his work. Today, we have the living scripture, the unchanging work of God that energizes and motivates us to believe in and live for Christ. This is the power of being his witnesses. Are you prepared to share who Jesus is? I believe. Amen. I believe in his word. I believe in his authority. And I believe in his witnesses. But maybe today, you are like the father who has a demon-possessed son that came to Jesus in Mark 9. And Jesus said to him in verse 23, all things are possible to those who believe. Like the Father, we know God is a God of impossibility. Nothing is too hard for God. Abraham found out that his old wife that cannot bear any child is still able to bear a seed. And he realized nothing is too hard for God. Maybe today you are like this father that came to Jesus and Jesus said to you, if you believe, all things are possible. But you, like the Father said to Jesus, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. I do believe, God. Help me overcome my unbelief. He's not saying that he doesn't believe at all. He said, God, I believe. I have limited space of belief. I have limited degree of faith. I don't have that great faith. I didn't have a seed of mustard faith. I only have little faith. What he's saying to Jesus is, I believe, but I don't understand everything. Have you ever been there before? I believe, I don't understand everything. Life is to live forward. Understanding is backward. But when we want life to be understanding in order to move forward, you'll get stuck in the hole. And this is father was so honored and said, Lord, I believe, but I don't understand everything. I don't understand everything. I don't have the capacity because faith is in the heart. The heart believes, but understanding is in the mind. And the mind will reason. The mind will debate. The mind will say, is it possible? But faith is in the heart. I believe. And he said to Jesus, I'm open to learning and willing to persevere till I do. I'm incomplete in my belief. I'm incomplete in my faith. But Lord, I'm willing to press on. I'm willing to trust you with what I have. And I will hold and persevere till you make me complete. That's the power of I believe. If you are like the Father, Jesus encouraged you. Believe. Believe in my word. Trust in my authority. Have faith in my weakness. With the limited faith that you currently have, I will help you to grow your trust, your faith in me more and more. That's the power of I believe. It's dynamic, it is growing when I hold on to the author and the finisher of my faith. Can I have the musician to come? Don't understand, underestimate the power of I believe. If there's any challenge for our modern Christianity, it's for us to come back to this basic point of I believe. Why do you think the early church people were willing to die for their faith? It's because of the power of I believe in God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The apostle in the early church came out and crafted this Apostle Creed. This Apostle Creed is to help believers on their faith. On their faith in I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. And I believe in the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Creed covers creation, Jesus' life and resurrection, the hope of eternal life. And the early church believer will recite them, remember them as a declaration of faith. I believe. Because this declaration of faith is a declaration, a fame, I believe in who Jesus was, the past. I believe in who Jesus is, the present. And I believe in who Jesus is in the future. The Jesus who is to come, the future. This great strength and belief this morning, the belief in his word, his authority and his weakness, as I have spoken this morning, can all be covered by the Apostle Creed. And the Apostle's Creed starts with, I believe. The Western Christianity has not understand this common statement of I believe. If you don't hold this common statement of our faith, of what you believe, then you have nothing to stand for. You have nothing to stand for. You may say you are a Christian. You have nothing to stand for. It is this that tells you what you stand for. What you stand up and declare this Apostle Creed with me this morning, as we declare it together. Let's do it together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day, He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sit at the right hand of the Father Almighty, from which He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of the sin, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. I believe, amen. We need to have this. We need to stand on what we believe.